All right, very good. Yeah, so my wife and I, we always enjoy seeing how the kids are dismissed and which ones are more excited, which ones are less excited. I don't know why. We think it's exciting. There's the kids that take the walking very seriously, and then there's the kid that steps in front of the kid, and he's, no, I got to go before you got to go and everything. So anyway, it's exciting. All right, I have a little story for you. As you know, one of the great reformers, Martin Luther, he's the one that sparked the Reformation. Other things were happening at that time, but him nailing the theses on the Wittenberg door was a key event to starting the Reformation, and people turning back to Scripture and salvation by grace through faith. It wasn't a work, all these things that he kind of pioneered. But if you get to study the man as an individual, and many, many biographies have been written about this man, interesting person. He really struggled at times with depression and doubt, and he questioned things, and he was everywhere emotionally, right, all over the place. And later on in his life, though, he gets married to a woman named Catherine, and she does a world of good for him. They have a family. They're very hospitable. But at one point, he was just, in his ministry, he was having difficulty and just questioning, and all these doubts and fears were overwhelming him. And so he sought counsel from other godly men that he knew, and they said, oh, you got to take some time off. You're working too hard. You can take a break, and this will help you. So he spent some time. He went out in the country by himself and just took time. And when he came back from his little vacation, he was even more discouraged and more depressed. Things were worse. And it got so bad at one point that he goes downstairs to the living room, and there's his wife and his kids, and they're all sitting on the couch, and they're all dressed in black. And he says to his wife, why is everyone dressed in black? They said, oh, we're having a funeral. And he says, a funeral? Who's passed away? And she says, well, apparently God has. Based on the way you're acting right now, and I don't think you think he's even alive. And so it was a rebuke to him. He said, okay, you know, you got me there. And he was able to come out of his doldrums. But what I want to talk to you today about is about the sin of worry and being worried about things. And really discouraging ourselves. You know, worry is a major epidemic in America today. Studies have found that 30% of Americans struggle with a debilitating worry. And Americans, of all the different drugs that we take for our moods, $42 billion is just spent on anxiety medicine. That's a lot of money. $42 billion every year we spend on people that deal with anxiety and worry. And, you know, worry does take a physical toll on us. People that have problems with worry and anxiety, they're 6 times more likely to be hospitalized. They're 6 times more likely to spend time in a hospital. Some signs of worry, not being able to eat, digestive disorders. Other people, it's overeating. They try to compensate by stress eating. Inability to focus. Some people live in a constant state of fear. Physical pain, tight muscles, panic attacks, inability to enjoy life, having difficulty making good long-term decisions. People that panic make, I have to do something, and they make a quick decision. You know, worry can rob us of our sleep. You can stay awake all night thinking about a problem you have. Oh, and what do you get in the morning? You get up in the morning and you're like, wow, that was a bad night's sleep. That's what I got out of that. Worrying doesn't help us. And Jesus has a lot to say about the topic of worry. And in this passage, he will specifically deal with the topic of worry. I look at verse 25 of our text, Matthew 6 and verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. 6 times he'll use that phrase in this passage, take no thought. Don't worry is what he's saying. And what are they worried about? What you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what shall you put on? Is not life more than meat and the body than raiment? Is there more to life than just bills? You know, we get all caught up in the bills and worrying about this financial problem and, you know, what am I going to do? What's going to happen? And worry is just something that harms us and keeps us from enjoying what God has for us, his blessings. So to summarize this, Jesus is saying, relax. Your Heavenly Father's got this. Relax, your Heavenly Father's got this. You know what? I feel like we have too many people that get tense in this room. So what I want you to do, I want you to turn to the person next to you, and I want you to tell them they can relax now. And go. You can relax. Some of you may have already been telling that to somebody already, but this is from me this time. Relax. Relax. Our Heavenly Father can take care of things. We don't have to get all worried. We don't have to get all wound up about everything and wring our hands. The Bible condemns the self-torture of worry. One of my all-time favorite presidents, President Calvin Coolidge, he once made the statement. He says, if you see 10 problems walking towards you and you just wait, 9 of them will end up in the ditch. And the idea is we get all worked up and worried about these worst-case scenarios, and then they just never even happen, and we worried for no reason. We don't need to live a life of worrying what might happen, or how's God going to pay my bills, or what's going to happen. There's all kinds of things outside of our control. We just need to live in faith each day, trusting God. So in this passage, Jesus gives us 6 reasons why we should not worry. 6 reasons. So if you don't, here's my 6, there's 6 points to this message. I'm just going to tell you up front. There's 6 reasons why you shouldn't worry. And he lays it out very thoughtfully. Jesus shares thoughts, okay? Now the disciples are always in a panic, right? Oh man, there's no bread, or there's a storm. There's always something that gets them excited. Wait, that's just like me. There's always something that gets us worried and all stirred up, right? And Jesus doesn't say, oh, you're crazy. That's not what he gives them thoughts. Now, just think about this before you get worked up. Let me give you some things to ponder. If I can give you some helpful thoughts about God, it'll adjust how you feel, okay? So God is going to use this passage. He's going to give us 6 thoughts that we should think about before we consider worry. Number one, if God values birds, can you imagine how he feels about humans? If God values birds, can you imagine how he feels about humans? Verse 26, behold, the fowl of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. So have any of you ever seen a bird making a garden somewhere? Maybe watering the food, pulling weeds, and then coming through, picking it, storing it somewhere, maybe putting it in Ziploc bags. This is not sponsored, by the way. But they do still really well. Putting it in the freezer for later. Do birds do this? He says, you don't see them do any of these things. And yet, what happens? Yet your Heavenly Father feedeth them. God takes care of the birds, okay? The birds are going to eat. The birds will be fine. Are ye not much better than they? Do you mean that God cares more about that bird that eats than he cares about you, someone made in God's image? Do you really think God thinks this way? I'm going to take care of those birds, but I don't know about Micah over there. I'm not so sure about him. Should I give him enough food? I don't think I will. No, of course. Mankind is the highest point of God's creation. We're made in God's image, okay? We have a spiritual side. We have self-awareness. We can worship and glorify God in the way the animals cannot. And if God cares about those animals, then of course he cares about us, okay? Do you really think God doesn't care about you? He's just going to be like, oh, that doesn't really matter what happens to that person. God cares about every person in the world, okay? God made every person in the world with a purpose and a design and a plan. Every person has a reason for being on this planet, okay? Whether you like the person or not, God had a reason for making them. And there's something they're supposed to do. And so every person matters because they're all made in God's image, okay? Even the person you may not like. God likes that person too. God likes every person, and God will take care of people. And God takes care of his own children especially, right? Us as God's as people, we've accepted Christ as our Savior. We've been forgiven of our sins. We know that we're on our way to heaven, and God cares for us. All right, can I get an amen? Amen. Okay, thank you. I feel better. I think you guys really believe what I'm saying. This is good. All right, so we looked at there's 6 reasons why we shouldn't worry. The first one is because God loves us. Number 2. What good is it to worry about the parts of life we cannot control? How many times do we worry about things that are outside of our control? Okay? Verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add 1 cubit to his stature? Does worrying make you taller? I've been 5'11", and I always had dreams of being 6, because you want to say you're 6 foot, right? At least. Nope. 5'11". I'll always be 5. Well, I'm probably going down 5'10". I don't know. That's my dad's territory now. Oh, no. It's happening again. All these things I do. Worrying doesn't make me taller. Some translations say, and they'll take the word and they'll change it, can you add 1 cubit to your life? Meaning, can worry make you live longer? No, you can't worry yourself to a longer life. The Lord knows when it's our time, doesn't he? You know, two people can get the very same diagnosis, and one person lives 10 years and one person lives 1 year, because it's not their time. So the Lord knows our life that we're supposed to have. So there's areas of life I can control, right? There's things that I can do for my life. And in those things, I need to work hard. You know, God isn't going to bail me out of my bad decisions and laziness, right? So the stuff I can, I need to work hard. I need to have plans. I need to get wisdom from others. You know, how do I address this problem? How do I address this concern? And those are all legitimate things that we must do, okay? We can't just sit and expect God just to miraculously come in and fix everything for us. God does give us human responsibility of things that we should try to do. So there's things that I can control. Now, there are things that are outside of my control. And how many times we sit there and worry about things, you know, oh, the stock market, or, you know, this person or that person is going to do something I don't like, and what is so-and-so thinking about me? You don't know what that person's thinking, and there's no way to control what they think. People are going to think what they're going to think. We can't control how other people act or what other people think, or we can't control the circumstances of life. I can't control the weather. I would like to. I can't do it, though. That's outside of my control. That's up to God to control. So the things that I control, I need to be responsible. And the things that I can't control, I have to give that to God. And I can't sit here and worry about it. And I can't just, you know, feel bad and be all upset. And I'm just torturing myself, right? There's a story of a woman who lived in London at the outset of World War II. And her neighborhood was constantly being shelled by the Luftwaffe, and houses were being demolished all around her house, and there were fires and all kinds of things happening terrible around her, and yet this older woman remained calm. And one of her neighbors noticed her calmness and said to her, "How do you remain calm in such times of uncertainty?" And you know what she said? She said, "I think of what the pastor used to always say. The pastor always tells us that God is always watching. And so at night, I think, if he's watching, only one person needs to be awake. And so I go right to sleep." And I think that sometimes you have to realize that God is going to have to take care of things. I can't do it, okay? I can only control certain things. I can't control everything. And so God has to worry about those things. Now, sometimes we want to take on responsibilities that aren't ours. We want to maybe fix this person over there or try to change over here the decision this person makes. But what happens is a lot of times what we're doing is we're trying to play God, and we're trying to find answers for problems that aren't our answers and things that are outside our control. The problem is we don't have the power of God. And so for us to try to act like God without God's power, we're just going to be frustrated, aren't we? And we're not going to be able to do the things that God wants us to do. We're just going to stress ourselves out. It's not my job to be God. It's my job to be Micah. And I'll tell you, working on Micah is a full-time job. Micah has a lot of things he needs to focus and work on without me trying to fix everyone else around me. And so, rather than worrying about things I can't control, I have to trust God that he's going to handle those things. And the Lord can handle things, and he does when we give him a chance. Now, he doesn't always do things in the time that we want, but he has his own time, and his time is best. We should trust in him. All right, so we're talking about worry. We've talked about we shouldn't worry because God loves us. We shouldn't worry because we can't control things anyway that are outside of our area of responsibility. Number three, we should realize if God can take care of grass, isn't he able to take care of you? This is what Christ says. Verse 28, "And take ye thought for raiment. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, how they toil. Neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye little faith?" Jesus says, you don't think I can take care of your clothing situation? You think I can't handle this? Let's think about this here. Look at a field full of lilies. Just think of how beautiful that's clothed. Think about how nice that looks. And you think about the richest man that ever lived, Solomon. Remember, he had different clothes he wore each day. Clothes were very expensive back then, but he had tons of money, so he could wear a different pair each day. And that was extravagance back then. But as nice as Solomon looked, as well as as fancy as his threads were, that field is doing a better job of dressing than he is. And I clothed that field. And you know, that field, you think, it doesn't matter. Now back then, they didn't have a lot of wood, so they would often burn grass to stay warm. What happens to grass in our society? We cut it, right? If it's too long, we go and we cut it. The thing that you cut that you're least worried about, God says, I take care of how that looks. And so if God can take care of grass and how well grass dresses, he can certainly put some nice threads on you too, can't he? He can handle the bills, okay? And then Jesus, if that's not bad enough, he throws this in. He says, oh, ye of little faith. And so those disciples, they get it again, don't they? He tells them, you lack trust in me. This is the problem, okay? You're focused on trusting in all the wrong places. All right, so we know we can trust God. God will provide for us. He provides for grass and clothes it. He can clothe us as well. All right, we come to number four. Number four reason why we should not worry. When we obsess over physical needs, aren't we just as hopeless as an atheist? When we obsess over physical needs, aren't we just as hopeless as an atheist? Verse 31 and 32. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things. Here's the believer, right? Someone that's put their faith and trust in Christ. They've confessed their sins. They have a home in heaven. They have assurance of God the Father. They have God's word. They have prayer. And yet here they are agonizing. Oh, man, how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to have the clothes I need? How am I going to have the food that I need? Okay, they're sitting here and they're worrying. And he's saying, aren't you just like the person that doesn't believe in God? How is the person that believes in God thinking any differently than you're thinking right now? Consider this. We're just like someone who doesn't believe in God when we worry. You're on the same level. They don't trust God and you don't trust God. It's the same thing. As believers, we should know better, okay? I'm disappointed. You should know better. I should know better. We should all know better. If we truly are believers and putting our faith in God, and we believe He created the universe and He loves us and cares for us and He's all powerful, then we should trust Him, okay? We shouldn't have this faithless mindset that's just hopeless. Oh, man, my life is so difficult. What am I going to do? And it's sad, really, how godless people think. How do godless people think? What are they? And there are godless people that have good motives and good desires, but they're just free of God in their thoughts. There's plenty of atheists that will tell their kids, you know, you got to go to school and do your best. And why do we go to school and do our best? Because we got to get into the best college. And so they go to the college. And you got to get that degree. And why do you get the degree? You got to have the good job so you can bring in the income. And why do we have to have the good job? Oh, you got to have a shiny car and a big house, right? This is what we got to do. Shiny car, big. And you want to get married to someone nice, you can have a nice family. It's more pleasant to live with. And you got to be nice to your neighbor. You got to get along, do nice things so that people will like you. All of these things that we value so much, and yet the world does this, right? The world only thinks about the physical things around them. The world is looking for the path of least resistance. How can I make a decision today that'll make my life easier tomorrow? All they care about is easier. You know, Christ talks about a farmer in Luke 12. And this farmer is just so successful at his business, and he's constantly having to expand his business. Every year, the growth is off the charts. He's bringing in all these crops. He's selling it. He's making this big profit. And Christ calls him a fool because the man sits there and thinks, you know what? Now I can relax and enjoy life because I have all the physical things that I need. Christ tells him that he's a fool and that he'll pay the price in eternity. How do we think? What's our thought process? Do we only think about the physical world and that success? If your kid's being rich someday and having a nice marriage, if that's the only thing it takes to make you happy, then are you really someone that thinks like Christ as a parent? Is this world only about all the stuff that we have and making our life a little bit softer, having a little bit nicer vacation? Is this the thing that we value the most? Because if this is what you value the most, this is the way the atheists think, right? All they care about is physical things. There's no thought of eternity. There's no thought of pleasing God with our life. There's no thought of sacrificing, showing love. All the things that reflect Christ in our everyday life, all those things are left out. And the only thing that's left is just stuff and things. No, we don't need stuff and things. We need to glorify our Father in heaven more than we need luxuries, okay? We need to put God in the right place. And you put Him first, right? And everything else will fall where it's supposed to be. It'll make sense. All right. We're looking at reasons why we shouldn't worry. We talked about how we have a God who loves us. We talked about how we have limited control. We talked about how God takes care of smaller things. He'll take care of us. We talked about how the world is just more important than just physical possessions we might own or paying bills. Number five about worry. We shouldn't worry because we need to put God first, and He will supply your needs. If you put God first, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Let's put God first. Make God the priority. Okay, my priority is not the house I have or the car I drive, the clothes that I wear. God is the priority. And this is a wonderful verse. We should seek God first. Okay, this should be our number one priority. Accomplishing God's will for our life. You know, I don't really care what God tells me to do. As long as He's in it and I do it, it'll be fine because it'll bring Him glory. You know, the Lord can change things. For a while, the Lord had me working at Walmart at one point in my life. And you know what? You know how I felt at Walmart? I was happy at Walmart. I was saving people money so they could live better lives. I lived the motto of Walmart. I loved it. Right? The Lord had me there. You know what? The last church that I was at was a smaller church, and so I was bivocational. So I worked in logistics at Walmart, and I was also a pastor at the same time. Can you imagine that? Saving people money, saving people souls. I could do both. It was all there. And you know what I found at Walmart? I had the best experience. It was wonderful. You know what? I had so many chances to witness to people. Because in logistics, I would spend, 10 hours, 12 hours in the back of a trailer with one other person. It's a captive audience. You can ask them about eternity. You can ask them all kinds of questions. I witnessed to so many people. It was awesome, right? It was great. Now I'm sitting here. I have to go find people to witness to. It's so much harder. They don't come to me the way they used to. And no one's trapped with me for 10 hours. So it's not the same. But you know what? Wherever the Lord has you, He has something for you, right? We got to seek Him. If the Lord is in it and you're doing something, it doesn't matter what it is. The Lord can be glorified and you can have joy in it, whatever it is. Now, some of you may think, oh man, you know, I'm stuck here, over here doing this and this. That's an opportunity. Look what the Lord has for you. Look at the people you're going to influence. Okay, look at the lives you can touch. Who can you minister to? Who can you help? You know, if you have that attitude, you can enjoy going to work wherever it is. Or if you're out of work, you know, maybe you volunteer somewhere. Or, my grandfather was a pastor, and he had a stroke at the end of his life, and all he could do is sit in his lazy boy chair, and he sat there for 7 years. Well, he got up to, you know, go to bed and stuff, but he would mostly sit in that lazy boy chair almost all day because he could barely walk. And he would literally pray all day. He'd spend the whole day in prayer with the Lord. And he'd call me up in seminary, you know, how's Hebrew going? Oh, Grandpa, I'm hanging on by an inch. I'd be like, I'll keep praying. And so I really think his prayers got me through seminary, you know. I think because I barely made it through Hebrew. It was a close shave. You had to get, on the proficiency, you had to get an 80, and I got a 79.8. And they rounded up, praise the Lord. And they said, do you want to retake the test and go for a higher score? I said, I'm good. I'm actually good. That's actually makes me very happy. And he prayed and prayed and got me through. You know what's funny is that all the guy cousins in my family, they're all pastors. We're all pastors. And so I wonder if it was those prayers. Now, we're all very different. I think we have one of our brethren who's in a different denomination, but I let it go. He's a wonderful Christian man. But I mean, I think we're all pretty similar. We all have a pretty similar view of Scripture. And the last reading, we talked about our churches and different things. And anyway, I'm getting off the beaten path here. But here, I just give you an example of my grandfather not being able to do anything, yet he could pray, and how powerful the Lord used that. Would I be here today without those prayers? I wonder. I wonder if I would be. And so the Lord uses people. And we seek the kingdom of God first. Make God your top priority, okay? You make that the number one thing. You know, some people make vacations the top thing, or the car, or the house, or the fancy job, or all these things. And they're fine in their proper place. You put God first, okay? I'm going to please God. And then all these other things. You know what's funny? When you put God first, all the other things fall where they're supposed to fall. And they'll all work out. You'll have all the other things that you need. And God knows exactly what we need. And there's things that we think that we want. Oh, I really want this. And God gives you something else. And you think, why that? But there's a reason for that. And later you'll realize, okay, that's just what I need at that point in my life, you know? We want everything to be positive and wonderful, and sometimes God brings us hardship. And yet that's his gift to us because he knows we need that. If it was up to us, we'd want just an easy life of ease and luxury, right? But sometimes God has to bring us through difficulty. But God is a loving God, and he gives the perfect presence. Now, I give terrible presents. Have you guys, I don't know if you've taken the five languages of love. Have you heard of this? The five languages of love, different ways that you show love to people. My lowest one is gifts. I think, why do we have them? I tell my wife, she's not allowed to buy me any more gifts, you know, because it just ends up in the garage, right? But she cares about me, and you know, she's into being kind and all that stuff. She's great at it, right? She'll give somebody something, and they'll cry, oh, just what I wanted, and it's got a bow on it, and whatever. Not me, right? I give her gift cards. That's what I do. And if it's a big occasion, I'll give her multiple gift cards because I went to more than one store. That shows her how much she means to me. But God the Father is not like me. Okay, he's much better at this. He gives the perfect gift, and it's wrapped with a bow, and God says, I love you. I'm giving you this. This is what you need. Not always what we want, but it's always the perfect gift. God is the perfect gift giver. Let's put God first. And you know what? He'll take care of us. If I seek him and I'm doing his will, he'll make sure I have the resources I need to be successful. And I'll have everything that I need. All right. We've talked about reasons why we shouldn't worry. We're up to number 6, if you're counting down. Number 6. Why should we worry about tomorrow's problem when today's problems require my attention? Oh, this is a good one. Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thoughts of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evils thereof. There's enough problems tomorrow. I'm having a hard time nailing today. I have enough problems today. You know, life never goes exactly the way you plan it to go. There's always things that happen outside your control, and you're like, who knew this would happen? And you know what? Something goes wrong every single day. Did you know this? And you're always trying to adjust, and you're always trying to be flexible and compensate over here and do less over here and a little bit more over there, and we're always trying to make today work. And Jesus is saying this to us. You know, things are going to go wrong today. Things are going to go wrong tomorrow. Things will go wrong the next day. And there's enough problems tomorrow for tomorrow's energy. But you know what? You need your energy for today. Don't worry about tomorrow's problems today. Worry about today's problems, okay? That's not that we don't plan or that we don't work ahead, but there's all kinds of things that could go wrong. I can't worry about every possible thing that could go wrong because if I spend all my time thinking about tomorrow, I'm no good today. I need to think about today and trying to fix the things that are going to go wrong today, okay? Don't worry about tomorrow. Worry about today. Let's live in the moment of today, okay? What when you wake up each day, think, what does God have for me today? What am I supposed to do today? Who am I supposed to talk to? It's easy to come at life and have all your plans and ideas, and I make lists, and I have lists and lists, and I've got a whole a wall of lists and ideas, and I got stuff for, I'm ready for the all-nighter, I'm getting excited about that for the teens. That's not for another 6 months. I'm already excited about it, and I got missions trips 2 years from now, I'm all worried about that, and I'm talking to people and praying and seeking God's will. All kinds of things are going on, right? And we have what we want to happen, but you know what? There's another set of agendas besides our agenda, and that's God's agenda. What does God want to happen? What does God want me to do today? Who am I supposed to talk to? And you know, sometimes the Lord has a way of changing our plans. We had planned this over here, and then someone bumps into you over there, and that's your whole day. Well, that's just, if you have kids, you know how fast the plan can change. Oh, small kids. Small kids are the best, but man, do they make you tired. But something can happen, and that can be a day right there. I got to tell you the story. This is not related to the message at all, but here it is. I was on the couch with Gracelyn yesterday, and Gracelyn is 4. Well, you guys are falling asleep anyway. I don't feel bad about doing this. Gracelyn is 4 years old. She's sitting next to me on the couch yesterday, and she said, "Did you know, Dad? Do you know that you can call candy suckers, but you can't call people suckers?" I thought that's. Yeah, they learn quickly, don't they? Yeah, I spent a significant amount of my day yesterday with Gracelyn, playing with her, and that's, you know, my wife had stuff that came up she had to do, so then I ended up having to, I was at home more than I would have normally been, and that's what the Lord had for me that day. The Lord has something for you every day, okay? Let's not worry about tomorrow's problems. Let's focus on today's problems, addressing the things that are right in front of us, and this is where our attention needs to be. Focus on today. Focus on tomorrow. So, are you a worrier? you have struggles? Do you have problems thinking about things you shouldn't think about? Are you stay up at night worrying about things that you can't control? At times, are you like the disciples? Do you lack the faith? I know one disciple prayed, give us more faith. And I think I pray this regularly. Lord, strengthen my faith. If I were to summarize the points that he makes and simplify what he said, here it is. Here's the six steps to facing worry, to combating worry. Number one, meditate on the truth that God loves you. Meditate on the truth that God loves you. You know, if I sit here and think about all the problems, in a way, what am I doing? I'm really not believing what God's saying. I'm not thinking about the greatness of God, the bigness of God. You think about David and Goliath. He wasn't afraid. Everyone else was afraid. Why was David not afraid? Well, look at the Psalms. He had a worship of God. He had an appreciation of God, an understanding of God. In that moment of worry, I'm lacking my appreciation for God. I need to focus on how God loves me. Think about this. Saturate your thoughts in those things. Think about grateful things, okay? Meditate on the truth that God loves you. Number two, don't stress over circumstances you cannot control. Oof. It's so easy to try to play God, isn't it? And to think about, what is this person saying? What is that person saying? What does this person think? Who knows? Maybe they like you. Maybe they don't. Who knows? I can't control what other people think. Nor do I want to live my life to try to guess, because a lot of times you'll guess wrong. You know, a lot of times people don't even think about you at all. A lot of times we overestimate our amount of thought that someone puts into me. I love junior hires in this school here. I had junior high tell me, I wonder what the auditorium's thinking about my dress right now. It was a girl. I wonder what the auditorium's thinking about my dress right now. And I said, I wanted to say, there's not a single person that cares in this room. I didn't say that, though. I said, well, you know, they all have to, whatever. I said something polite and nice. My wife would have been so proud of me. But yeah, I said something nice and polite. Oh, it's fine, you know. And that's part of growing up, I think, is you worry. What does everyone think? And people may not think what you're thinking. Now, maybe they do. Who knows? But I can't control that. I'm not going to worry about it. All right, number three. Remember that God will take care of you. God takes care of me. He takes care of grass. He will take care of you. You know, every time there's a big crisis, it's like you want to lack faith and get all worried and stirred up. But you know, in the past, the Lord's always been with you, right? If you're like me, I have so many chances, so many times in my life when I really had nothing, at the last second, the Lord came through for me and gave me much more than I ever could need or the things that I even wanted. The Lord just lavishly blessed me, and so. You know, it's funny, the Lord lavishly blesses us in the moment of crisis, and another crisis comes, and what happens? We want to panic again. We need to remember back what the Lord has done for us in the past, and at our lowest point, the Lord was there, and the Lord will be for us. Remember that, okay? Remember, the Lord will take care of you. The Lord's taken care of you before. He will take care of you again, okay? Don't worry. Don't panic. You don't live a panicked life. All right, number four, focus on eternity, not stuff. Focus on eternity. How often do we worry about mundane things? The car, the light bill, getting registered for this or this, that, you know. How many times are we worried about things that are just so physical? And you know what? That's sad when that's our priority. When the most important thing in your day is a thing, well, that's really sad. We lose perspective, right? What really matters? Eternity, right? People matter. The Lord working, God's love, those are the things. That worshiping God, those are the things that truly matter. So that needs to be my focal point. All right, number five. I think we're at number five. Yes, number five. Put God first and let Him provide for you. Put God first. Make God my priority. What's the priority, okay? And this can make the decision for you so many times. You know, I've got A, B, and C option. Well, which one would glorify God? Let's pick that one. And you know, it's funny. When you put God first, the resources will be there when you need them. The Lord has a way of providing. Things show up. Things happen. Suddenly you have money. And God has a wonderful way of giving to us. When we put Him first, God is very generous. You can't outgive God. Whatever you sacrifice, whatever you give Him, He'll always give you more. You can't outgive Him. And so God has a wonderful way of providing for us. All right, number six. Give your full focus on solving today's problems. Give your full focus to solving today's problems. As I mentioned a minute ago, let's focus on today. What do I have to do today? What's my goals today? What's my priorities? What mission does God have? Is there someone I should talk to? Is there someone that needs my encouragement? Should I be praying for someone? Okay? Is someone in a place of difficulty? That should be my focus. We have a loving God. We don't have to worry. You don't have to live a life of worry. You can be calm when things go wrong. You can realize that God is going to take care of this. You can relax because God really has this. Let's bow our heads for a second.